This is a verse in the Bible, and it's probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Most people know this verse, even if they don't read the Bible, because it's one that's it's quoted everywhere. So why don't we read it together? It's not too hard to read. So let's go. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world so much. And it says that God loved the world so much that he did something about it. Some people say they love you, but they don't do anything about it. They just say words. You know, sometimes people, you say, well, you know, I love you, and but they don't act on it. They don't do something about it. And when that's like that, that's not really love. Love is an action word. Love means you do something. So if somebody just says they love, that's different than actually loving, than actually doing something. And God did something about his love for us. He loved us so much. And it says he loved the world. Well, who does that include? The world. Yeah. Who else does? Who's? How many people does the world include? Everybody, because it's probably 5,123,000,000 or something like that. Right? Everybody, God so loved the world. Now, if you're from Mars, maybe you could say that that's not good for you. Are you a Martian? Hannah, are you a Martian? Are you a Martian? You don't know? Oh, okay. Okay. You're not a Martian. Okay, good. We know that now, right? So that means that God loves you because you're not a Martian. Because it says God so loved the world. That means everybody. God so loved the whole world that he did what? He gave his one and only Son. God did something about it. Now, why did he have to give his Son anyway? What did he have to send Jesus down here for? It's because we made a mess. Do you ever make a mess? You know what? I'm really good at making messes. My wife tells me I'm the messy, messy person. She says I'm like a tornado. I come in the house and I'm coming from making hay and I got to go to do a preach at a meeting and I just throw everything off. I run through the shower and I throw everything on and behind me there's a mess. You make mess with toys, do you? Okay. Well, I'm not the only one. That's good. That makes me feel better. But some people are messy people. But you know what? The whole human race, we're messy people. But we've made a mess of a lot of things. We've made a mess of taking care of our planet, haven't we? We really have. We made a mess about how we take care of each other. We really have made a mess. We've messed up badly sometimes because we don't look after each other the way we should and love one another and care for one another. And, you know, God calls that kind of messiness sin. And that means we don't do what God says. We do what we want to do. And we think we know better. And that's what really makes a mess, because when you don't know you're doing wrong and you keep on doing wrong, it only makes more wrong things happen. And so things get worse and worse and worse. And God looks at the human race and he looked at all of us and he says, oh, they've all made a mess. And I have to go and fix this. Because I love them, I'm going to go and fix them. So God comes down to earth because we have sinned, because we've gone wrong, because we've gone in the wrong direction. And God doesn't want us to perish. That word perish means to be lost, to be away from God. Not only here, but forever. God doesn't want us to be away from him forever. So he sent his son Jesus to come down and to take care of our sins so we could be with him forever. And he died on the cross to take away your mess. Take away your sins. The worst thing, the sins. Not the mess that I make when you throw your clothes around or leave your toys out. Not that kind of mess. But the mess that happens inside of us, where we get all messed up and full of anger and hatred and bitterness and unkind thoughts and all those kinds of messes that all of us have made. And we made them in ourselves, we made them with other people. But God loves the world and he loves us and he wants to fix the mess. So Jesus came, And he went all the way to the cross and he told everybody what was right and he healed people and he helped people. He was showing them that he really loved them and cared for them. And he didn't come down for people to give him things and to make, he wasn't like Percy looking for free candy. Instead, he was one who wanted to help people all the time. And even though he wanted to help them the most, they still took him and they nailed him to a cross. And stopped him from doing it because he knew he had to die for our sins. That's right. And when we ask him to be our Savior, something marvelous happens. He comes on the inside and begins to fix up the mess. And the Bible promises he has done it. He gave his only son that everyone who believes in him, every single person, anybody, doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what color we are, doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've been supposedly super good or super bad, we can come. Everyone who believes in him, that means puts their trust in him. That means you open your heart to him and say, you take over, God. Jesus, you can come into my heart. Everyone who believes in him will not perish, won't be lost, but instead will have everlasting life. That means life forever with God. That's God's love. That's how much he loves us. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is, I have it underlined it. What does it say?
God is
love. God really is love. And 1 John 4:9 says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. That's kind of similar to the verse we read before. Okay, battery's probably dying, huh? So we see that, and then in 1 John 4:10, I'm going to keep this on just for recording. In 1 John 4:10, it says this, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Sometimes people think that all God wants is for you just to try and love him as best you can. But real love starts with God. It doesn't start with you. Real love is God working in your life because we don't have the power to love on our own. You know, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says this, this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And then 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. So here's what I found out. Here's what God does. God knows that we've messed up. God knows that we're not loving the way we should. So what God does is he says, boy, I got to fix you up right from the bottom up. So what I want you to do is to receive Jesus into your heart, and then my love will come into you by the Holy Spirit. He'll fill your hearts with his love, and then we will love God because he first loved us. I need God, and I need his love in my heart. A long time ago, when I was younger, I didn't have very much love in my heart. Instead, I was full of anger, and I wasn't a kind person. I was the kind of guy you might call a bully. That's not very nice, is it? No. But I was a bully. But Jesus came and showed me how bad I was, how sinful I was, and he changed my heart. And he can do that for people. He can fill our hearts with real love. And that's what we need. You know what you want more than anything else in life? You don't want a fancy car. You don't want the best toys. You don't want the most dolls. You want to be loved. That's what you want more than anything. And oh, when you know that God loves you, and when you receive his love in your heart, it fills you with joy, and it fills you with himself, and it's awesome. God's love is really super awesome. Well, you know, when God reveals to us his love, he loves us not because we've been Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes. He loves us because he just loves us. And you know, he says here, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Let's say I was standing on the edge of a cliff, a big, steep cliff, and I started to fall over the cliff. And Gordon saw me, and I was just about ready to fall over the cliff. And Gordon knew that if he tried to save me, he'd probably fall over himself. What would Gordon do? Would Gordon be willing? Gee, thanks, Marie. She went like this. At least she didn't go like this. Yeah. If Gordon comes running and he pushes me away from falling over and he falls over, would you say that Gordon loved me? A lot, because he gave his life for me. Wow. I wouldn't be able to thank him on this side of heaven, but it would be pretty amazing. I would probably tell a few people what Gordon did for me. Now, I don't know if he would really do this, but anyway, we'll just pretend that he would, right? But you know that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because of your sins, and God has to punish sin. But I'm gonna come and I'm gonna get you out of the way, and I'm gonna go and I'm gonna take your place. I'm gonna die in your place. I'm gonna go to the cross for you. That's the love of God. Isn't that great love? How deep, how rich, how wonderful is the love of God? See, it says here, no greater love than someone to lay down one's life for one's friend. But when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, God didn't love you because you were so good. He loved you because he loved you. And he wants to make us good. He loves us just the way we are. And that is, I find, absolutely amazing. And that's the kind of love that he wants us to have for others and for him. And so here is the first and great commandment in the Bible. Here's what it says. Where is it here? Did I lose it? By golly, I did. Yeah, I don't have it on here, but I'm going to quote it because I know it. Okay, the first and great commandment was this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second one is like it, and it says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, God says, what I want most from people is that you love God and you love people. That's a pretty good idea, isn't it? Love God and love people. Now, some people think, I don't need God prior to, I'll just love people. Let me tell you, you won't love people the right way if you don't have a right relationship with God first. God fills you with his love. And then his love fills you with love for God and love for others. Love God and love people. So somebody had a question about that. And he wanted to ask God because he thought, well, which kind of people should I love? Just my neighbors? Because it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Well, who's my neighbor then, he said. Who are the kind of people that I have to love? Just the ones that really love me, right? Right? Isn't that right? So Jesus told a little story. There was a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, but he was attacked by bandits. And they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. Oh, he was in a bad way. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road, and he passed him by. Here's a guy in the ditch. He's all beat up. His money's been taken from him. He's hurt. And it says a priest came by, like a preacher, like I'm a preacher, right? But he came by, and he was so full of, maybe full of religion, but he wasn't full of God. And he looks over, and he sees the guy, goes, And he goes right on by. He doesn't help the guy. You think that's love? No, I don't think so. Let's see what else. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. And this was another kind of like really important person. But he walked by and he looked at him lying there and he passed by on the other side. Is that love? I don't think so. Then a despised Samaritan came along. Now, the reason why Jesus told this is because he was talking to Jewish people, and they didn't like Samaritan people. They thought Samaritan people were no good. You know, some people think that about other people, don't they? They think, oh, that group of people there, they're no good. Or those people, oh, we wouldn't talk to those people because they're no good. But Jesus is telling these Jewish people, and he says, a Samaritan came along, and the Jews probably would listen to him talk, oh, a Samaritan. Ugh. It says, he came along, but when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. And going over to him, he soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine. And the wine was used to disinfect. It was poured on the wound to make sure he wouldn't get infection. And bandaged him up. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. Now, most of the time, the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. Samaritans wouldn't have anything to do with the Jews. But here's a Samaritan, and he's going to help a Jewish person, right? And it says he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, and he's telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Is that love? Yeah, that's love. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Which one? The Samaritan one, would you say? Sure, it was. The man replied, the one who showed mercy. Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. God's love is so real, friends, that it puts away all those walls and barriers. And it loves people. Even people that are sometimes hard to love. Here's what Jesus said. Now, this is a corker. Listen to what he said in Luke 6:32. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. He says, listen, if you're only going to love people who love you back, you're doing it maybe for the wrong reasons. Because even people, you know, people who are living a wrong kind of life, they'll do that. They'll, you know, you give it to me and I'll give it to you sort of thing. You be nice to me and I'll be nice to you. But what happens if somebody's not nice to you? Are you going to be nice to them back? Is that the way the world works? Somebody's not nice to you? Well, tough luck, buddy. You're going back at them, right? Here's what it says. Love your what? Your enemies. Ha! Huh. Isn't that crazy? Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. That's crazy. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. And what does he say? Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. That's God's love. Friends, that's not our kind of love. Our kind of love doesn't work that way, does it? No way. You need God's love for this one, to love your enemies and to do good to those who do evil to you, because God is kind to the unthankful and the wicked. You know, it's a good thing he is, because we all need God. Well, friends, we're done. We're going to sing one more song in closing, but I want you to remind you of this. God loves you, and it's an action word, and he loves you enough to come to be your Savior. He wants you to receive him in your life, and when you do, he causes his love to start to grow in your heart so that you can love people the right way. And that's the only way you can, through and from the great, wonderful love of God. And that's one thing we can do, is really pray for one another when we go through hard times, because love really works out practically. It should, shouldn't it? Yeah. Why don't we sing that little chorus again? We can get it back up there. We can switch back over to the other one. Love the Lord your God. And we can do it without music.